Hey, I'm Tim, and if you're a guest, I'm pleased to meet you. We're going to have some fun this morning. How does that sound? Over the last couple weeks, let me start with this. Pastor Matt talked about how Pastor Steve is not here. Pastor Steve is our senior pastor, and he is, in fact, on vacation and asked me to send you his greetings. And so I'm going to send them to you right now via video.
Hey, everybody. I think we all need a church retreat.
That's not Steve,
by Deer Valley next January. Who's in? It's so gorgeous here. Okay, I'm going to hope 10 people are in for next year.
Hey, it's great to get a break every once in a while. And Karen and I are having a gas here at Park City. It's the end of the day. It's about 4:15, and the lifts are just closing, and so we're heading out, but I'd like to say we're missing you, but we're not missing you too much, but have a great Sunday. Definitely going to be praying for you on Sunday, and we'll see you soon.
Pastor Steve and Karen will be back next Sunday. Should be good. It'll be good. It's good to give them a break. They work hard, and they pour into us week after week after week, and so for them to be able to get away is a good, healthy thing. We're all jealous, but we'll probably get over it, right? This month is Vision Month, and over the past couple weeks, we've been sharing with you where we believe God is leading us as His church here at Calvary Christian Assembly. Our goal for this month has been to share with you our passion for helping people find and follow Jesus. Now, this isn't a break from where we've been heading in the past, but it is more of a refocusing. In our mission to help people find and follow Jesus, we want to become a hub of hope to help people in the greater Roosevelt area. And we're going to be focusing on three things to make that happen. And we've talked about these over the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about gatherings. Each one, bring one. Do you remember that? And we all filled out, we filled out on the back of our cards the little thing on the back that said, This is the person that I'm going to be praying for that I want to help find Jesus this year. And we ended up putting all of those names on these people in the balcony here so that we could keep in mind for this month, hey, this is what would happen if all of these people found Jesus. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Okay? That means all of those people then would join us in heaven, which is awesome. Then, last week we talked about groups, that life is better together. Life really is better together. This Sunday, today, we're going to focus on gifts, in that the gifts and talents that God has given us are passionately missional. They're uniquely God-given, and they are holistic in how they affect us and those around us. We'll hear from a few people about how and why they're using their gifts to serve, and we'll have an opportunity to look at how all of us can use our gifts to serve here in our church, in the greater Roosevelt area, and in the communities that we live in. I remember the first opportunity I had to use my gifts for serving. I was 18 years old. I just graduated from high school. It was the summer after my senior year. And I had some buddies who were older than me who had said, hey, you got to come be a camp counselor with us at Camp Baraka. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. You guys are awesome. And I look up to you. And so I'm going to do it too. It's going to be fantastic. So we went to Camp Baraka. And they put me with a cabin full of 10th grade boys. Awesome. In a terrible way. Because the first problem was this. I was 18, but I looked like I was 12. So I was a very late bloomer. I still looked really young, and that didn't help with a bunch of 10th graders who probably looked like they were older than I was, and I'm trying to lead their cabin. So these guys would do everything that they could think of to be as bad as possible. I had the worst cabin in the whole camp. I'm not joking. They would fist fight with each other and with the other cabins. That was awesome. They would get quad lattes right before bed. Oh, such a joy. And then this one kid, he took this plug and he stripped all the insulation off the plug, wrapped the bare wire around the plug, turned off the power in our cabin, plugged the thing in, turned the power back on, and was trying to get people to come grab the plug and unplug it. What? That's a good way to die, right? So this is my cabin, and I got my butt handed to me on a platter of incredibly not awesomeness. It was terrible. Luckily, I had the junior high pastor who had just started working at Westgate Chapel, which is where I was attending. He came about halfway through the week, and he saw that I was just getting annihilated, and he came alongside me and took me under his wing and gave me some tips on how to bring things into order. And at that point, then I started working with him in junior high. And that's how I ended up getting into ministry. I started by being a camp counselor at a camp and just getting crushed. It was awesome. And I look back at it now, and it's plain to me to see that anybody can serve. Because if an 18-year-old like me, who looks like he's 12, can use his gifts to serve, anybody can serve. Anybody can.
I've been working in the cafe for about 9 months. I was told that Livy needed help. And I was always raised that, you know, if someone needs help and you can help them, you should. So I knew she needed help. She needed a barista. She didn't have enough people. And I figured it sounded fun. Like, I love making coffee. I love talking to people. So I figured I would help her out, and it's turned out to be really fun. I told her before I started, it's like, you know, I don't know how to make coffee. She's like, that's okay, I'll teach you. And it turned out to be really fun. I mean, just the connection you get with the people you meet, like, it seems so strange. Like, you wouldn't think you'd get a connection with someone just by making them a coffee. But, like, you get to learn about their children if they have any. They'll sit there, and while you're making them drink, you say, oh, how was your day? And you get to know everybody. My name is Celeste Jefferson, and I work in the cafe.
Anybody can serve. Celeste didn't know how to work in the coffee shop, but she knew she could serve. And so she did something that she thought she could be good at, and that sounded fun to her. She used her gifts to serve. Anybody can serve. Here's the thing. God has rescued us. He has rescued us from abuse, from fear, from addictions, from pornography, from disease and illness, some of you, from ourselves and our selfishness. But God doesn't rescue us for our sake alone. He calls us into partnership with him. He equips each believer with special gifts that will make a difference in our world. And as we use those gifts, both in the church and in our networks of relationship, God uses us to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. He uses us to become his hub of hope. There's a story about Jesus where he's walking along the road, and he and his disciples are headed to this town called Capernaum. And they're walking along the road, and his disciples are kind of squabbling, and they're arguing with each other. And when they get to Capernaum, when they get to the house that they were staying at, Jesus kind of pulls them together and says, what were you guys arguing about on the road? But they didn't want to tell him what they were arguing about. You want to know why? Because they were arguing about who would be the greatest. How silly is that, right? I'm going to be the most awesome. Jesus likes me the best. I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. So sitting down, Jesus calls his disciples together and he says, listen, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. Finish this phrase for me. It's better to give. Better to give than to receive. The way that God set up his creation is based on selflessness. Adam and Eve were charged with taking care of the creation. Now the devil came in and he played the exact opposite card, a card of selfishness and pride. And we fell for it. We fell for it hook, line, and sinker, man. And the result of that exchange has always had an end of pain and death. Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. So when we consciously invest ourselves in service, in using our gifts, if we give ourselves away, we'll experience real joy because that's the way that God designed us to be. And when we find that the gifts God has given us, no matter what they are, they have a few defining characteristics. And these are on your notes. So if you pull out your notes from your bulletin, you're going to find the fill in the blanks here. The first one is this. Our gifts are passionately missional. Our gifts are passionately missional. God desires to reconcile every person on the planet to himself. He's on a mission, and he invites us to be on that mission with him. Now here at CCA, we intentionally partner with other churches and Christian groups in order to fulfill Christ's mission, commission to make disciples everywhere, in Seattle and throughout the world. So we partner with Mary's Place because it helps bring light and life into our community. We have a great number of missionaries who are around the world helping people that we partner with. We're passionately missional. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. That's the mission. That's the mission. As you are going, make disciples. With the things that you're good at, make disciples. With how God has gifted you, go and make disciples. Jesus told another story about sheep and goats. Livy and I have a farm at home. Well, it's sort of a farm. We have 3 chickens and a bunny. We let one loose in the wild. We used to have 2 bunnies, and we've got a dog. So it's only a sort of farm. It's an urban farm. And every once in a while, someone says, you guys should get goats. I'm like, if I want no lawn left, I'll get goats. But we don't have goats. Nor do we have sheep. And Jesus is talking about sheep and goats because it's a parable. He's really talking about people, but he's using these animals that everybody in that culture and that context would have been familiar with. He's talking about sheep and goats, but he's really talking about people. And in this story, this king rewards those, the sheep, he calls them, who cared for him in prison, who clothed him when he was naked, and who gave him food when he was starving. Now the king also punished those who did not care for him when he was in prison. He called them the goats, or feed him when he was starving, or clothe him when he was naked. And each of these groups, they came to the king and they said, hey, when did these things happen? Because we don't remember seeing you. We don't remember that you were there. And the king replied, listen to this. He said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. What? Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me.
Yo. I had just gotten out of the kids' ministry, and the youth ministry wasn't all together at that point. I mean, it kind of was, but then it kind of wasn't. And we had this thing that was, I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it was like a core helper, like the kids help out with some of the tech stuff and other things, like doing the worship, doing the tech, helping set up chairs and taking down the chairs after service and before service. And I was always helping with the tech stuff, so I kind of just came back downstairs and saw if they needed any help, because it was fun doing it. I like doing it. On a regular day, I'll run the computers, make sure that the sound's working, that the video plays right, the worship slides are up there, and we pick the worship songs before service and have them ready. I'll also do small groups, depending on what curriculums we do. I've been on the stage presenting the lesson. I've been doing the lesson in the small groups, supporting the lesson with the small groups, kind of anywhere I'm needed. Could be a bunch of different things. Smile on their faces, it's really great to see some, like when they start getting things, or when it looks like they're not paying attention, and then bam, they get the memory verse like perfectly, or they explain the entire lesson as if they were sitting in their chair listening intently when they weren't. My name is Max, and I work in the kids ministry.
Yes. Max is using his gifts to serve what some would consider the least of these. I am not a kid person. Like, the reason I worked with teenagers for so long was because they can, like, do real things. Like, they can, they can drive and stuff. And you can play football with them and, like, hit them and stuff, right? But kids are hard for me. And a lot of people kind of look at kids, well, they're just kids, but not here, man. Not here at Calvary. Kids are a big deal to us at Calvary. They're a really big deal. And so Max is serving and he's using his gifts for what some would consider the least of these. But who Jesus would consider, hey, if you're doing it for them, you're doing it for me. It's the reason that we're going to help out with Mary's Place. For women and their kids who are getting out of drugs and getting out of messed up lifestyles, there are a lot of people who say, oh, well, they blew it. They messed their life up. But not here. Not now. Because we're on a mission. And we're going to use our gifts to help reach who many would consider the least of these. Why? Because when we do it for them, we're doing it for Jesus. Jesus said that we're the light of the world. That when we follow his example, we're like a city that's on a hill. And you can't hide that light. When you start using your gifts and serving people just to serve them with the love of Jesus, you can't hide that light. It shows. It glows. So we're passionately missional. We'll be seen through our actions even more than we'll be seen through our words. And then we'll be using them for the benefit of others in order to show them the love of Jesus Christ. So, passionately missional. The second thing is that our gifts are uniquely God-given. That's on your notes. That's the next fill in the blank. Our gifts are uniquely God-given. The Holy Spirit is a gift giver. He gives gifts to every Christian that are uniquely suited to his or her personality. In this way, God enables us to convincingly share his story with others around us and to effectively touch the needs of the world. That happens in his strength as he works in us, not in our strength on our own. It's he that gives us the gifts. We don't just have them. He gives them to us. He's made us with them. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul, and he said this. He said, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are at work, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Do we determine them? No, he determines them. He's God, we're not. And then to the church in Rome, Paul also wrote this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Each of us have natural gifts and talents that God has given us. And sometimes it's hard to figure out what those are. But I want you to write this down, okay? If you've got your notes out, I want you to write something down that's not on the screens, and it's this. Our gifts usually have some combination of these three things. Ready? Something we're good at, something we're passionate about, and something that we've had experience or training doing. Those are the things that God builds inside of us. Let me say them one more time. They're usually some combination of what we're good at, what we're passionate about, and what we've had experience or training doing.
I've always kind of been passionate about kids or working with children. Back home, I had done a couple different things. Like, I enjoyed babysitting when I was younger, and I worked at a private learning center with 3s and 4-year-olds, and I've always just felt like a big kid anyway, so I've kind of just related to kids and youth of all ages. And so I've always had sort of a skill to relate to kids or work with kids, so I decided I'd try and get involved here. Well, I knew I had these certain set of skills that God had blessed me with, so I thought I could maybe utilize them here in the church, become a part of the body. Jess and I had kind of gotten established here, so I wanted to see if we could get involved. Matt actually invited me to play racquetball with him, and I had been thinking about maybe getting involved with Driven, and we played a game of racquetball, and he destroyed me. Afterwards, he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, just so you know, you're going to be involved in Driven Student Ministries." And I caught me off guard a little bit, and so I said, "Oh, well, okay." And I went home and talked to Jess about it, and I had shared with her before that I was thinking about it. And I like working with youth because I feel like I can relate to them easier, and they're fun, easy to get along with. And I just feel like I get to be a big kid on Wednesdays and Sundays, and I really enjoy it. My name is Ryan LaPlante, and I work in Driven Student Ministries. Go Hawks. Oh, man, I'm proud of that now.
Ryan's using his gifts. He's using the things that God has given him, the things he's passionate about, the things that he's had experience with, the things that he's good at. He's using those things. He's using those gifts to serve. If you're not good with details, then you shouldn't work in the media booth because you've got to stay focused on the details. That's okay. If you're not good with people, you shouldn't be a greeter, right? And that's okay, because we all have different gifts. Each of us contributes in our own unique ways. And if you've got questions about where you're gifted, we'd like to help you figure out what that looks like. In fact, you can use your connection card on the back of it. And if you wrote in this bottom part, and you said something like this, "I would like to learn what my gifts are," and make sure you put your name and a contact information on there so we know actually who wrote it, then we can get in contact with you and we can help you be able to figure out what some of those gifts might be. And that's what we like to do. That's what we're here for. So we are in our gifts, in using our gifts, we are passionately missional, and our gifts are uniquely God-given, and finally, our gifts are holistic. They're holistic. God created mankind in his image. So the gifts he gives enable us to minister to the whole person, to people's physical, emotional, mental, social, and spiritual needs. Not only that, but when we use our gifts, it affects our whole person. When we give of ourselves selflessly, it has an impact on our body, on our mind, and on our spirit. They're all connected. You can't take them apart from one another. Now, beyond that, God entrusts us with the responsibility to care for the planet, to be wise stewards of everything that he's created. The story of creation tells that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. God told Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." We have a responsibility to use our gifts to take care of God's creation. We should be green. We should focus on sustainability. Because that's part of the role that God has given us. Now, some people are going to be better than that than others. And I love it when the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, if you've got a green thumb, man, use it purposefully for the good of others and for the glory of God. And when you do that, you're using your gifts the way they're supposed to be used. If you're passionate about sustainability, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. When you're building things, right, with your hands, or if you're repairing things, do it as unto the Lord. It's a great way to use your gifts. If you can cook, you should cook for Jesus.
You know, Roger and I have always served together, but because we love hospitality. But then there became that extension where it was like, we almost felt compelled. We couldn't get enough. You know, the more we served, the happier we were to serve. And we just, there were needs everywhere. And I guess we were kind of good at it. And it seemed like God had just really given us the mantle of serving. You give a cup of water, you know, if you give a cup of kindness or a cup of water in my name. And so I thought, wow. That is it. That's what we're about. We're about Cup of Kindness Catering. We want to, extend Christ's love through what we do. And what a better way to do it. And so that was birthed about, I'd say, 10 or 11 years ago. And it's been amazing. It's been actually sometimes very difficult to work a school district job for 27 years and then still take on what word of mouth comes. But that's okay, because he gives strength and he gives encouragement. And, you know, even just a kind word when somebody says, you know, wow, that really went well. And I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you so much, Lord. Because when you are exhausted, that's where the strength's coming from. That's where the joy in serving comes. I really love people. You know, the name Sandra actually means helper of mankind. The kind of job I do is serving with school kids. And love the school kids. There's so many needs there. But I just, sometimes I think I just ooze wanting to serve. And I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, I just kind of want to tie in the serving and the giving with the joy of worship. Because, you know, out of your innermost being, and you need all of your being to be able to serve God. And so it's not just, you know, again, the hands or the feet or the whatever that might be, but your actual innermost being. And for me, so many of the things that we worship and that we sing are scripture. And so it's like, you know, shame on you for holding back if you're not going to worship. It's like you have no idea what freedom and healing and strength and protection and just goodness there is when you come and worship and thank God. So I don't know, for me that's all tied together. Good morning. My name is Sandy Renando, and I joyfully use my gifts through Cup of Kindness Catering.
I don't know how many of you spent time around Sandy, but she's a firecracker, man. She is so full of energy, and she really does ooze like serving. It just oozes out of her. She's using the gifts that God has given her, and it's a holistic thing for her. It's not just this thing is what I do, but it just has become every part of her life. She started about 20 years ago helping cook here at the church. And that just grew and expanded, and now she cooks for people outside of the church. It's where Cup of Kindness Catering came from. But it's not just there that she's using her gifts to serve. I mean, it ended up that she's serving at the school she works at. And when you talk to her, you hear her talking about the people she comes in contact with. And then you hear her talking about worship and it's how it's all tied together. Because our gifts are holistic. Anybody can serve. Celeste can serve in the coffee shop. Max can serve with the kids. Ryan can serve with the youth. Sandy can serve through cooking. Anybody can serve. I'm going to have the band come up. We're going to wrap up here. As we kind of go back to the beginning, the gifts that God has given us, they are passionately missional. God has us on a mission with Him. They are uniquely God-given, and they're holistic in the way that they affect us, those around us, and this earth that we live in. I'd like you to take your connection card, and on the back of it, you're going to see a little response. It says, "My takeaways." And again, if you're a guest, we'd love for you to fill this thing out, get to know you, you can get to know us. But on the back, you'll see this checkbox that says, "I will look through the gifts packet to see where God might be directing me to use my gifts." Now, if you're already using your gifts to serve somewhere, fantastic. That is phenomenal. But if you're not, we've got this little gifts packet. It's in your bulletin. And there's all kinds of areas that you can get involved in serving. Now, most of them you'll find have to do with areas within the church. But you want to know what? That might not be for everybody. And we want you to be creative because we are a hub of hope, which means it's not just everybody in here, but we come in and then we go out. And we come in and then we go out. And we come in and then we go out. We're a hub. In and out. In and out. And so we want, some of you might get creative. Like Sandy, who started cooking here, and now she's cooking all over the place for the glory of Jesus Christ. It may mean serving at Mary's place. It might mean getting involved in your kid's school and volunteering at your kid's school. It could be a lot of things. But we want everybody to be using their gifts. As we wrap up our Vision Month, remember, we want to help people find and follow Jesus by becoming this hub of hope. And this is completely dependent on all of us doing our part. We want to be committed to the gatherings as each one brings one this year. We want everyone to plug into a group because life is better together. And we want to encourage everyone to find a way to use your gifts because anyone can serve. But these aren't the only ways, so be creative. Find ways to use your gifts outside. The Apostle Paul said this when he wrote his letter to the church in Philippi. He said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Today, maybe you're our guest here, or maybe you've been coming here for a while, but you've felt a pulling at your heart. Something drawing you, something compelling you towards a thing that you can't quite grasp or understand, but you know that it's pulling at you. That's God's Holy Spirit. And he's beckoning you today to surrender yourself to him. This God that we serve, the creator of heaven and earth, of the skies, of you and of me, that which no greater thing can be thought, is longing to reconcile you to himself. It's a process, and maybe you're working through that process. But maybe today is a good day for you to give your life to Jesus. To surrender to his leadership. To allow him to save you from your past or your present or just yourself. He left heaven and he humbled himself to ridicule and death. He came to serve and not to be served because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. No matter what you've done or where you've come from, he loves you. Again, I'd like you to grab your connection card. It's pretty simple, really. But it can be kind of hard, this whole Jesus thing. But all it takes is us for to confess that he is our Lord. And that means this: we're surrendering to his leadership. And we got to believe in our hearts that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is God, and that he came to do what he said he came to do, to save us. And when we do that, when we turn from our old ways and we fix our eyes on him and we begin to walk with him, his spirit makes its residence inside of us and he begins to change us from the inside out. He saves us. And if you're at that place today, I want to pray for you. And I want you to take a step of action. So I'm going to ask that everybody just kind of close your eyes. We're going to ponder this for a minute. You've been working through this whole thing. You felt something pulling you. You'd say, you want to know what? I think today is my day. Today's my day. I do want to surrender myself to Jesus because I think he can do it better than I can. And I do believe that he is God and that he came to save me. If that's you, I simply want you to grab your connection card and look at the back of it. On the right-hand side, there's a little box that says, I want to know more about beginning a relationship with Jesus. I became a Christ follower. I reaffirmed my commitment to follow Jesus. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask that, whether it's out loud or just under your breath, that you repeat this prayer with me. And then I'm going to ask that at the end of the service, you find one of our people that will be up at the front to pray with you. And they'll be able to kind of walk you through what those next steps are. Okay, what does it look like now? What do I do now? Where do I go from here? God, we realize today that we have tried to do things our own way, and it hasn't worked out very well. And we feel you pulling at us, saying, come, follow me. This morning, we want to give our lives to you. We want to offer our whole selves to you. We want to follow you. We believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You came to save us. And we give ourselves completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen.